The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Mike Radio, your chance to have your say, and today the leader of Douglas City Council is here, and also the lead on finance and general purposes at Ramsey Commissioner is here. Devon Watson from Douglas and Juan McGuinness from Ramsey. If you want to get in touch, call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at maxradio.com. So where does the future lie for Douglas and Ramsey? Well, Juan McGuinness, first of all.
Andy. How are you?
Yes, it's been a while since we talked. How are things in Ramsey?
Good. Very good, I think. Ramsey's on the up, I think it's fair to say. We're doing a lot of good things up there, and the town's starting to buzz a bit.
And Devon Watson from Douglas City Council. How are things in Douglas?
Hi, yeah, no, really optimistic for the future. And anyway, thank you so much for having me on. It's sort of great to be back. We're really excited. I mean, we're doing a lot of work around rates at the moment. We've just come out of a meeting with Treasury today, earlier on, and I think I'm really excited about sort of getting certain schemes progressed. We're trying to do some really interesting things around housing. We're going to redevelop huge parts of our park space. So people have asked for things, and we're aiming to deliver, trying to get things done rather than just talking about them, right?
Okay, so for the uninitiated, why do you need to talk to Treasury about rates?
Well, essentially, what we need to do is there is a policy around zero rating properties that are dilapidated, and a lot of these properties are still zero rated. So we've done a lot of work around sort of maybe getting some legislation changed so that properties that are zero rated because they're dilapidated, because they're empty, because they aren't being used, charging rates on them just like everybody else, so they have an incentive to suddenly bring them back into use again for the first time. Yeah. We've got loads of dilapidated buildings all over the island.
The ones that look like haunted houses.
Exactly, and we don't want any ghosts in Douglas.
Okay, certainly there are lots. Off the top of my head, I can think of two around Douglas that have been like that for absolute. There's one at the corner of, I think, Bathurst Street, next to where the old Park Road School was, and of course the one just by Robinson's on the terrace as well. It's been there for ages and ages.
100%.
What's the holdup?
So I don't know. I don't know if I can comment specifically on individual cases.
But
in general, the main issue is an issue around incentives, right? Because sometimes people are asset rich, cash poor. Sometimes people don't live here on the island. Sometimes people don't have a strong interest in doing this because they're available for other things. Sometimes it passes like down inheritance tracks, and sometimes things are a bit confusing, right? But ultimately, the core problem is that there's very little incentive to do something that is going to be intensive without a cost attached to leaving something empty. So what we want to do is, not only do we want to bring in charges on those so that, okay, if I can't do this, maybe I'll sell this to someone who will, maybe I'll pass this on, maybe I'll have the need to sort of get that done. And B, what we'd like to do is not, we want to start charging additional levies. It doesn't necessarily have to go in rates, it can go in anywhere, but on empty properties. So Ramsey has this really incredible thing where you've got loads and loads of local businesses in Parliament Street, and rent in Strand Street is so high. I know one of the units was going for £200,000 a year. Who can afford that? What local business can afford that? And because people can just leave the properties empty for a long time to hold out for a high rent. And essentially what we can do is, if we can take the 6,000 empty properties we have on island, charge an additional penalty for sort of keeping them empty unnecessarily for a long period of time, then people are going to have an incentive to bring them back into use. And the reason why that's great is because it means that we don't have to build loads and loads of properties on greenfield sites. And every property that's brought back into use within a town, within a community, is another piece of farmland or another piece of natural environment that gets saved and protected.
Okay. So this is a political policy. When would you expect it to be enacted?
So hopefully with regards to the zero rating, I mean, that's already happening at the moment, but we're hoping to get
on the consultation.
It's on the consultation, but like that, what I mean to say is the process process is sort of like ongoing.
Don't you worry that with the current election next year that we will not see something that's potentially unpopular, that this will just be parked until 2027?
Possibly, but what I hope to see is, because this is a measure that is popular, and this is one of the few times where the incentives of government and the incentive people really, really do align, that I'm hoping that government is quite keen for a quick win. So if they can change this before April next year, they can go back to voters and say, hey, listen, we've done this change. Yeah. This affects 270 properties. Hopefully something gets done. Maybe I'm too optimistic, right?
Well, so, Julian, do you have how many dilapidated properties are there in and around the centre of Ramsey, or around?
We've got 67 zero-rated properties, according to the Treasury stats. And I think what I've been asking our staff to do is dig into why they are zero rated. I mean, some of them, I got the list, some of them have been zero rated for over a decade or more. It's interesting what you say, Devin, about encouraging people to sell. The one, I am generally in favour of this. The one concern I have is that there's a likelihood that people who are cash poor will be forced to sell. And realistically, these buildings are not going to be mortgageable. So you are selling to an existing capital-rich echelon of society. So you have the risk of sort of forcing people who are temporarily cash flow awkward to lose their property, which is not something I want to do. It's got to be a subjective balance.
100%. There does have to be a balance. I think the one thing that I think quite firmly on this is, so if a property's empty, presumably the person lives somewhere else, right? This property is surplus to requirements. And if they are cash poor, even a dilapidated property in some parts can go for 190, sometimes 200K. And then suddenly they sell this property and suddenly they're cash rich, right? So, I mean, it's one of those where...
The key being that you can't get a mortgage or a decent loan on something that's haunted, that's a ruin, you can't get. Yeah. So you have to find the cash to do that. But the fact is that some of these have been there for you. There may be deceased estates. There may be children, grown-up children in here, there and everywhere who aren't interested anymore. But the fact is, they look like broken teeth, don't they?
Yeah,
when when you're driving around or walking around.
I think the proof of how it would work is the policy afterwards. It's one thing to enact a legislation, but then the policy following it has to allow for a certain amount of time for people to be able to renovate. You've got to be able to sort of say, well, actually, you're not making effort to make it better. Also, what worries me is where you're looking at it, the perspective of someone buying it and doing something with it. There is the risk that someone will buy it, that resets the clock and you end up with an issue again. Or, you took that broken teeth analogy, well, they could demolish the property and then you have missing teeth. And once you've got no property, this rates issue doesn't apply anymore.
Which, there are some of those around Ramsey, aren't there?
There are, and that's the current issue. Well, not just current, I think it's always been the problem, is you want to redevelop brownfield sites, absolutely. The cost is very prohibitive at the moment to do that from a capital, from a commercial perspective. The returns just aren't there, which I understand. So it's a difficult problem to fix without the government stepping in, whether it's local or national.
Oh, 100%, which is why I think with all of these things, it does have to be balanced. You never want to penalise someone who's making a good faith effort, right? But I also think that to some extent that the government does have schemes that allow developers to sort of build on brownfield sites, but these aren't currently available to local authorities to build social housing on these sites. And that's one thing I'd like to see changed, a policy move. Big brownfield site, middle of Douglas. Can we get some of the same support that a private developer gets to build a lot of social housing units on this site? And I think that there's a lot of problems we can solve, because the fact that if you've got a brownfield site in the middle of town that can be built on but it's expensive to build on, that's an opportunity. And I think that one thing I'm optimistic with is that, maybe not in the run-up to an election year, but I do think that a proactive government would be able to look at these and solve a lot of these problems.
Okay. Joan McGuinness then, Devin was talking about £200,000 a year to rent some stuff in Strand Street. I'm guessing there's nothing like that on Parliament Street. What's occupancy like?
The Department for Enterprise did do a sort of study, and we've got a bit of a percentage of empty shops and units. I think that might be at the stage where some of those properties haven't been invested in enough to be serviceable as units, or maybe just not modernised. I think that our conservation area plays a part in that, not completely, but I think it's a factor. But I think what Ramsay does have, and Devon touched on it, is we've got a lot of wonderful independent stores. We're incredibly fortunate that the sort of retail sector of Ramsay is unique and quirky, and each and every shop is offering something slightly different. We haven't got, apart from Costa, we haven't got any brands or any sort of high street chains, and I think that's what makes Ramsay a beautiful shopping experience.
Okay, so Devon mentioned public sector housing. What are the plans in Ramsay for public sector housing?
Yeah, so I put forward a proposal for our staff to go away and write a housing strategy, because I think up until now we've been sort of waiting for the DOI to give some direction or some funding. We've been quite passive, and I want us to be more proactive. The central government seemed to view social housing as a cost, and I would see it as an investment. Whether it's brownfield sites, whatever the factor, we are providing affordable places for people to live and therefore contribute into the town, which is dramatically important. And I want us to be looking ahead 5, 10, 25 years. I don't want us to just be sat back and thinking, well, we've got one project on the go and we'll just focus entirely on that. And then once it's finished, look around for the next one, because the timeframes on these developments are 5, 10 and 25 years. You need to be looking ahead to the next opportunity and not just be waiting for the DOI to move at glacial speed into providing funding. I know the DOI have made some noises in recent months about sort of having a clearer pathway to funding and things like that. I've yet to see that actually come forward in any action. I will be cautiously optimistic that that occurs, but what I don't want is for it to be sort of thrown back at, well, Ramsay Town Commission could have been doing more. I want us to be doing absolutely everything and being first in the queue.
I'm trying to remember, when was Lazare Road modernised? Is that 10, 15 years ago, is it?
The refurbishment? Yeah. No, that was 2016, 2017.
Right,
that's
okay.
When it was closed for many months.
So where would new social housing go in Ramsay? In the town or on the outskirts?
Yeah, so we've put forward a proposal to redevelop what is used to be called Close Warra, and we bought the Albert Road site in order to make a larger square footing. We have a huge demand for single bed occupancy at the moment, and that, with that, we're looking at flats that can house, you know, one and two bed flats. And yeah, I would like to see us start to revisit the brownfield sites. I think Devon touched on that and was quite correct, that as a local authority, as a government, we can take a 30, 40, 50 year return on investment. We aren't looking for that immediacy of commercial return. We can look at it as an investment in the people of the town, and that will revitalise the centres.
Okay, and Devon Watson, I know you're quite vehement about public sector housing, aren't you?
Yeah, I care about two things in the world. I care about my friends and family, and I care about social housing. Much to the chagrin of many of my friends and family, who I never shut up about this. And I think that there's a lot of really interesting things going along the way. But one thing I do want to sort of move away from is that now that we're elected, now we're in government, we aren't activists anymore. We have to get stuff done, and which is why our fairly firm commitment is to see our social housing waiting list that's got 250 people on it. And that's not just a number. Each one of those people represents a household that is in desperate need for housing. We've currently got plans on the way, and we're quite keen to make some announcements and get things going. But we want to bring that down by at least between 40 and 60% by the end of this current administration. We've got some vacant properties that are owned by the public sector because they've got very complex issues around the properties. We want to get that down as close to zero as possible. And the trend lines are coming down. We've invested. We've managed to receive about £700,000 from the DOI in the past few years, and that brought another 70 properties back online, which is fantastic, because that's 70 homes that people can have, and that's 70 people who now have a secure path into the middle class. We're continuing to do Williston. That's the largest project, social housing project currently in the country. It's about £40 million that we're investing into refurbishing these properties. And I think that the future is good, because the most innovative housing at the moment is being built in the public sector. And we're about to bring Williston Apartments online fairly soonish, hopefully by the end of the year, maybe early next year. And what that'll do is that brings another 48 highly super energy efficient properties onto the market that's going to give people secure places to live. So I'm really, really optimistic about the future of social housing in Douglas.
Okay. Can you say where any new housing would be?
So we're looking at a few schemes. Obviously, they're still in that really sensitive sort of commercial stage at the moment. So, I mean, we are going to be making as much noise about it when it is available, but we're looking to build a lot more within current existing estates on land that we already own. And we are looking at like a number of brownfield sites within Douglas. We're already having these conversations with developers and landowners. How can we work with them? How can we sort of take the most innovative approach possible? And I know that obviously sounds a little bit like a politician answer, but when it comes down to commercial development, sometimes you have to keep cards close to the chest.
Okay. Could you, I've got a question in, just says, will Douglas City Council get all the money from the sale of the Lord Street flats? Does that go to you? Does it go into a pot?
So what that does is that goes directly back ring fence directly into social housing. We're still working on that. We're still working. Obviously, sometimes these contract disputes, sometimes sales of that nature are quite complex, but our offices are hard at work and both sides are trying to do everything they can to sort of make that happen. But yeah, that goes directly and that's been reinvested back into social housing. Our housing director has this incredible plan. And one of the things he says again and again and again is that we will never reduce the total amount of social housing we have. We always only increase it. We keep as many planes going in the air at any point in time. And what that means at the end of the day is that we will build more before we sort of move out, which is why we built Peel Road Apartments and the sale from Lord Street Flats, that'll go into building a new apartment block. So that adds new private sector supply, 50 new, hopefully affordable apartments within the private sector, and that adds, gives us the funding to build new public sector homes.
Okay, Stephen's with us now. Hi, Stephen, you're live with Devon Watson and Jim McGuinness.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, listeners. Good afternoon, Andy. Devon probably knows part of what I'm going to talk about because I have discussed it with him. But I would like to say that I think the councillors should be reminded that you're not just sitting there to look after social housing, you are there to look after the ratepayers in general of the City of Douglas, and that is a wider remit than what you've currently been discussing. And I think that one of the issues that has been sadly lacking in the last decade and a half, it was stopped by a previous minister, there used to be a situation where individual houses, and don't forget we are in the main talking about individual houses which are possibly one within a street in each area, possibly two at the most, but these would all be owned by individual people. So previously what I know happened was that individual property owners could apply for grant aid to repair big ticket items within the property, and I would hope that that would be reintroduced because I think it's grossly unfair where big property developers can claim some sites are brownfield and get a large percentage of taxpayer funding to carry out. Then the one we all like to use as an example is the property development in Port Erin on the Upper Promenade for luxury apartments. Now, no one can really claim that that's a good use of taxpayer funding. However, it has been agreed, and I find it perplexing, that ordinary single property owners are not able to seek grant aid. So that's the first point I'd like to say. And the second thing is, I do applaud Devon for this initiative to try and get property, get it moving. People sometimes do need a push. I don't support all his thoughts, that's not possible, but I do support that, and I do think he's right where he says that the council became very moribund and did little for fear of doing something wrong, because in the past the council has done and carried out initiatives which are targeted for social activities, recreational activities via the villa. And I do think it's something that, and I hope that Douglas City Council and Ramsey City Council for that matter, and all the other councils around the island can look at possibly more than just considering themselves as a social housing managers. They're not. They're there to represent all the ratepayers, and I think that's something that's been missing. And I know that Devon has spoken about they've not done things. So it'll be interesting to hear Devon and Juan's comments on these points I make.
Okay, Devon Watson.
I think they're excellent. So three main points there. One is, yeah, if a big developer can get grants to do up and fix their housing, why shouldn't a small local person be able to sort of get that same sort of requirements in order to sort of get their properties back online? And we know additionally that when we do have climate change targets, a big part of that should also be giving ordinary people who live in the city and live throughout the island the ability to insulate their homes so they aren't cold in winter. The easiest way to stop large heating bills is to be able to insulate your home. So I think that there needs to be larger scope. I know Italy does quite a lot of work on this, and we need to like look at schemes that have worked in Europe and bring them in here and not be afraid of sort of investing in homeowners and investing in the people of the town. The second core concern comes around, I suppose, when it comes down to, we aren't just social housing providers. I completely agree. It's an issue I care a lot about, but we've restarted a park maintenance scheme. We're investing about £1.5 million into redeveloping parks all across the city at the moment, giving young people safe places to play. We've invested heavily into city centre, towns and events. We've invested quite considerably into CCTV networks. I think we're one of the few local authorities that has an active CCTV network to work with the constabulary in order to reduce down the amount of crime and make sure that we continue to be the safest capital city in the world. We do a lot of work on these other fronts, and hopefully the proof is in the pudding with a lot of these things. Obviously, any decision we make is going to be difficult, but our core job is to serve everyone. But I also want to show that there isn't a contradiction between those two aims. You build a new block of social housing, they pay a significant amount of rates, so you build a new block, that's another 10, 20, 30 grand worth of rates, and that's able to subsidize additional ratepayers. We've got enough people in social housing in Douglas that I think it totals the population of, or the amount of houses in Port St. Mary and Castletown combined. They come into Douglas and they pay the rates that help maintain the library, that help maintain everything else. So it's about building more social housing so we have more resources to invest in everyone.
Okay, Juan?
Yeah, it's interesting on the grants. I know the green energy grants are sort of moved forward with a few insulations and various other. I think the issue with government grant schemes tends to be the balance between making them accessible and not such a hardship to get through the bureaucracy and red tape to access that people do actually access it, without coming across as feeling that it's throwing money without the end result. I think that's a tough balance that we still as a society haven't quite wrestled with. But yeah, I'd agree that helping people invest in their properties for the greater good is absolutely key. And I'd invite Steve to come up to Ramsey and enjoy the Murrock Park, which for my money is the finest park on the Isle of Man. And that is, you know, done by the hard work of Ramsey Town Commissioners to upkeep that. Absolutely agree that
Noel Edmonds loves it.
He does. And, you know, welcome him back when he's back from New Zealand. And rightly so. It's an absolute gem for all ages, whether you're young or old. And, you know, we think we take it for granted in the north that we've got it on our doorstep. But that's, you know, that's a cost. The library's a cost. But they're not costs. They're investing in the upkeep, the amenity, and the well-being of the town. And that's as important, if not more important, than social housing.
Okay, Stephen, final word.
Yes, I welcome what's both been said by June and Devon, and I wish you well in your endeavours in improving the lives of the ratepayers and citizens of Ramsey and Douglas and the Greater Island.
Okay, all right, thanks for calling us today, and I think Robert's with us now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing, Devon?
Very well.
And all the rest of you, are you okay?
Yeah, very well. What's on your mind?
I'm looking at a £5 note underneath my coffee pot.
Right.
So it's stick in a fiver and go. Now, what I wanted to talk about was there's something reaching about on social that we've got £50 million for housing, which came off the socials for Isle of Man government over the last week. Is that true? Can we have someone go in there and verify that? Can we get spades in the ground? What are your thoughts on that?
Have you heard that? Have you heard that story, Devin?
Maybe I'm slow on the uptake, but I haven't heard about that directly yet.
£50 million.
That would be great. If someone lets me know where I can find £50 million, I'd be thrilled.
Where did you hear about that, Robert?
That was on it was on Twitter, and it came out of the Isle of Man government conference. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was so 50 million.
Right.
But I mean, it's thicker and fiver and go. So you need to get your coffee out and get in your flask and do something.
Well,
so
we'll certainly take a look at that. I know you've talked about housing in the past and availabilities. Because I know you know the people at Gry, don't you?
I do. I'm there now, and we've got plenty of apples. So I feel a bit of a genius at the moment. I am an inventor, but suffering imposter syndrome, so that's that. But also, there's a councillorship coming up, or a councillor over at the Diggers Corporation. Could Devin slightly talk about that for a second?
Oh, yeah.
You
want people to stand, don't you?
Yes, yeah, 100%. And I think the one thing that I would like to see is I would be really, really keen. So I think that the nominations are open now. I think they close in a week or so, or fairly soon. So get down to the council if you do want to run, like, today or tomorrow, pick up those forms. Because what we really want is, I want someone in there that really disagrees with me. I really want someone in there that is able to challenge and being able to sort of hold our plans to review. And the last thing that we want is, we don't want the council to be an echo chamber, and we want people who are community-minded. We want people who are going to push back. People are going to hold us accountable. And at the end of the day, that's how you make a good decision. So I'm sure there are many listeners. Not everybody agrees with me. I don't even agree with myself. I'm like, who said that? So please, guys, run if you're quite keen to run. It's really rewarding. It's hard work. The pay is terrible, but it is the best thing you'll do in your life.
I'd imagine you want people to, more than one person to stand as well, so you have an election.
Yeah, that is a big issue that we have, is that because I think it's the volume of work that's required, plus the fact it's an unsalaried position, means that people have to make a sacrifice in order to do it. But I think that I would like to have multiple people running with competing visions for what they want to see, and that helps us do a temperature check on where the city is going and what we need to change and what we need to improve.
Okay, I got a message in from Valerie, who just said, could you ask Mr. McGuinness about the Ramsey Quayside scheme and where that is at the moment? Because didn't you, DOI wanted to do something and the commissioners didn't, is that right?
Yeah, so back in 2021, the DOI brought forward a flood prevention scheme with the Quayside, and that was rejected, or, you know, argued against by Ramsden commissioners and the Chamber of Commerce at the time, and they went away and worked with the Chamber of Commerce and some other interested parties, the fisheries, for about a year. And 2022, there was a sort of a plan put forward in principle, and then everything's gone quiet. Then the DOI did come to have a meeting with Ramsden commissioners. It was a private meeting. I know Wilf let everyone know on this very programme a few weeks ago. But so that has moved on. The DOI are talking about plans, and it's for them to bring them forward so the public can view them.
Okay. But obviously, will there ever be a compromise on this? Because, I mean, if I can paraphrase it, they wanted a big wall. The commissioners wanted something smaller. There was car parking going to be lost, and car parking, free car parking, is important to Ramsey. Where will the compromise come?
Yeah, so we've got to be pragmatic about it. But it's for the DOI to come forward with something that kind of satisfies both sides. The height of the wall and the making of the wall, that's, you know, you can bow to science on what the likely tidal range is going to be in the coming years. With the parking, I think at last guess they were looking at 60, maybe 70 spaces lost, which is huge, especially for the town centre. It's very close to the shops. It's the ideal position. And I'd say Ramsey's USP, unique selling point, is that you can get a car parking space even on busy days directly close to the town centre. It's free. It allows you 2 hours to sort of wander the streets. I think it's massively important, something we should fight to keep hold of.
And it's it's a lovely aspect, parking on the Quayside, wandering down the cut-throughs, the genels, if you like, onto Parliament Street. It's the essence of Ramsey.
Yeah, exactly. You can get right into the town, to the heart of the town, with ease. You can go to a shop and you don't have to worry about what you're picking up and buying, because it's a short walk back to your car. You can drop it off. You know, you can sit and have a coffee and watch the world go by with a relaxed pace and know that you're not having to worry about spending, no offence, Devin, but spending, like, you know, three or four the cost of a coffee just to get a park.
No, no offence taken. And I think it's one of those trade-offs you have to make with regards to parking, because parking is one of those things that helps sort of subsidise rates when it comes into Douglas, and we have to make a very delicate balancing act between sort of bringing in that income so we can sort of give value back to ratepayers, because that does reduce the cost of rates by, I think, between 10% and 15%. And the value to small businesses, plus the value to the fact that free car parking is a benefit to everyone on the island, paid for by local people. Ramsey does an incredible job with that. So we are looking at ways to work with the DOI to maybe try and help with the parking situation. It is a common complaint that people have, and I think that's something that we are really, really keen to get some work on, to figure out how do we make it easier for people to get into the town centre, because at the same time, land is at a premium. Land is really, really expensive. There's an unlimited demand for parking, and there's a limited amount of land. So there's a supply and demand thing that you have to try and balance and work out there.
Okay, Devin Watson is from Douglas City Council. Joe McGuinness from the Ramsey Commissioners. Lots of messages to get through, some calls as well in just a few moments' time.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Mannin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Mannin Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Mannin Motors.
You've worked hard all morning in IT, doing computery things, or in retail, assisting ungrateful customers, or doing whatever it is you lovely people do. But now, it's lunchtime, and you, my friend, deserve something special from Smash and Fry. Take your lunch to a new level with our delicious pizzas, fried chicken, smash burgers, and milkshakes. Lunchtime is your time. Visit Smash and Fry, Duke Street, Douglas. You deserve it.
EVF, fueling the island and fueling you, with a great range of fresh foods and everyday essentials at our filling stations, and always great offers too. Ellen Vannin Fuels.
Do you know, Dave, the Q-Plus counter always has just what I need. Whatever plumbing job I'm working on, whether a state-of-the-art bathroom or the latest heating system, Q-Plus always help. With extensive supplies, friendly, knowledgeable service and great prices, it really is the one-stop shop for trade and DIY customers alike. And if they don't have what you want in stock, they'll find it for you. See for yourself. Just take a look at Q-Plus on Facebook.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
With Devin Watson and Joe McGuinness. And Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
Hey, Andy. Hi, Juan. And hi, Devin. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Juan.
Hi, Dan. A couple of things on the town centre. It's actually a good programme to have both of you on. I think it's good that two towns can bounce off each other with some ideas. So it's a good idea having two on, Andy. Very much so. I think I just quickly on both of you have got some two good parks, Nobles Park and Murray Park, and I think they're not utilised enough. You look at like the Mayor's Day or the Douglas Fun Day it is now in Nobles Park, creates a lot of people there, and I think there's two parks there that's underused. The Murray, I definitely think, is underused. It's such a nice place to walk around.
What would you like to see in the Murray?
More events. More events there. There's things there that could bring people into the town, bring people in, and put the spend up within the town.
So,
Ramsey's such a nice place to walk around, as is the Quayside in Douglas. So, I'm just really touching on what you guys would think would bring people back into town, like the high street, and get the spend up in there. I mean, okay. It used to be a social place where people used to go.
Let's go to Ewan McGuinness first of all. Ewan?
Yeah, sorry, I got excited then. I think it's a generally held belief by the Chamber of Commerce in Ramsey that events in the Murrick don't necessarily translate to higher footfall in the town centre. The one downside the Murrick has is far enough away from the town centre that people drive direct and then drive past. So I think when it comes to events, and it's something we've definitely talked about and thought about an awful lot over the years, we need to be careful that we balance between the town centre and the Murrick. I'm absolutely in favour and completely agree that the Murrick is such a beautiful space that it should hold more events. And ideally, from my perspective, that would be independent groups, you know, charities. If someone wants to come and make use of that space and it's for the public good, then Ramsey Town Commissioners are absolutely open to hearing that and supporting it in ways that it can from an administrative perspective. But from Ramsey Town Commissioners using ratepayers' money, I don't necessarily see that putting too much emphasis in there would necessarily benefit the town centre.
Okay, so just to, I mean, forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but the traders think that something big that's happening in the Murrick doesn't necessarily bring people to Parliament Street.
Yeah, the conversations we've had over the years with the Chamber of Commerce and various other businesses in the town is that they feel that if there's an event in the Murrick, that's where the people are, and they don't necessarily then flow back into the town centre.
Ewan?
Yeah, I don't know whether I agree with that. If it was at Nobles Park, I'd say yeah, because that's way out of town. But I think if you're making the travel distance going to Ramsey from out of town, I think it would transfer over. And the other thing as well, like you guys were touching on parking there before. I'm in an area now where they charge 50 pence for 2 hours parking, and it creates more business within the town. I mean, people are very nervous about setting up in business now. I mean, the cost of property rents and rates within towns, with the event of online shopping now, it's very nervous for people to actually set back up again. So parking's got to be a key to get people back into your city centres again and make them thrive. I know Douglas has got buskers there. I think it's only Ewan that's busking down at Ramsey at the moment. But you need something there, pop-up shops or something to attract people into the town centre to get life back in.
Devon Watson?
So I'm absolutely obsessed with this topic. So one book I want to...
As well as social housing.
I'm obsessed with many things, right? That's why it's great, right? I mean, so there's this sociologist, his name is Eric Kleinberg, and he's written this book called Palaces for the People. And what they talk about is this concept of social infrastructure. And in the same way you've got hard infrastructure like roads, airports, railways that facilitate economic development, social infrastructure such as events, parks, libraries, social institutions provide the underlying fabric that allow a democratic society to exist, that allow families to form and allow friendships to form, and that any community can only exist if it really, really invests in social infrastructure. So that's why I'm really, really keen to sort of invest in events, and that's why we have that sort of town centre management function. But also when you look at the future of the high street, can small businesses forever compete against giant multinational corporations like Amazon or large companies that can sell at a much cheaper rate due to economies of scale? The one thing small local businesses have that absolutely is an incredible unique selling point is their ability to host events and socialize. So the center of our communities is going to be an organizing place, and it's going to be a place where people get to socialize with each other. But we're currently doing work on a Nobles Park 10-year master plan. That's a lot of work done by incredible councillor Natalie Byron, and she's investing incredible amounts of time into that, and our parks department is doing incredible amounts of work on that. Shout out to the director if she does happen to be listening to this. But yeah, hosting more events is absolutely fantastic, and that's something that we want to do a lot more of. Of course, that does come with a rates trade-off, but hey, we want to invest.
Right. And what about the food festival going to the back of the grandstand in the future?
Well, hopefully I get free food. I mean, otherwise, what's the point of doing all of this? But that's quite keen. And I think what we're trying to do is you're trying to become a partner for central government. We run into the exact same concern that Ewan has raised, is that sometimes traders in the town centre have concerns that, okay...
Why are you taking people to Glencrutchery Road?
But what I would like to say to many of the traders in general, if they do have these concerns, if someone comes in from Peel or from down south or from Ramsey into Douglas to go to that Nobles Park event, the likelihood is maybe they'll linger around for a while, maybe they'll come in. I mean, someone who already lives in Douglas might go to Nobles Park rather than go to town for the day. But if the event is good enough, it provides that sort of impetus. When we had that drone show earlier on and we had the Christmas lights switch on, we have tens of thousands of people, a huge chunk of the population, coming into the city in order to experience that, and that is absolutely fantastic, and we need to be doing more of it.
Okay, Jewin?
Yeah, no, that all sounds really promising, and I know in there's a mall that I go to now, and they feed off the back of the big guys. Like you said, there, it's very hard for a company to come up against the big nationals. But I mean, they have a pickup spot for like Amazon and their local Amazon places here, where people actually come in and pick their parcels up, and it's very, very busy. So it brings people into the other shops, actually feeding off the back of the big guys who you can't compete with some things. So I don't know, just things like that. But it's nice to hear you guys thinking outside the box and on the same wavelength of trying to bring the inner city back into some vibrancy.
Okay.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Good to hear from you this morning. Thanks for that. I got a message in from William who said, Ramsey fireworks this year, are they happening?
Yeah, they are. They're happening on the Saturday, the 1st of November. It's been a change the past few years. We've always traditionally held it on the 5th, which would be my personal view, but the board have moved towards a sort of a Saturday in recent years, again, because the general belief is that it brings a lot of people into, well, it does bring a lot of people into town, and yeah, a Saturday would create more business for the traders.
It's become huge, though, isn't it? I mean, I remember the first one, though, it absolutely, you remember the first one after COVID?
Oh, the 2020 was.
You couldn't move, could you?
And it's because we're very fortunate to have it around the Moorook, so you've got a beautiful semicircle of viewing. On a still night, the fireworks reflecting off the Moorook Park Lake, it's a really beautiful setting and has a space for a large number of people.
Okay, so it's what, Saturday the
1st of November.
Okay, that's right, back in just a few moments' time with Devon and Juan.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern, energy-efficient living with ground floor, underfloor heating and air source heat pumps, plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
Manx Solar Electrical offer wise solar and heating solutions for home and business. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in solar panels, Tesla battery storage and energy efficient heat pumps, helping you power your home sustainably and save money. Call 665-800 or visit manxsolarelectrical.com.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical.
Our island's energy reimagined.
When you want the
LVW Law are a team of experienced advocates, solicitors and barristers, trained mediators and international arbitrators. Let them help you achieve the best possible outcome in your case with their wide range of legal services for businesses, corporate and private clients. You can trust the LVW Law team to fight for you every step of the way. Visit lvwlaw.com and make an appointment today. Your first 30 minutes are free. LVW Law, they're on your side.
Hello, this is the month 25 years ago that nearly 80 Manx children went to London to perform a show about the Isle of Man at the newly opened Millennium Dome. It was a blast. I'm Charles Gard, and I was one of the team who helped with the project. And this Tuesday, I'll be bringing together some of the others who made this memorable event happen, and we'll be recalling the challenges and the triumphs. Join me this Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. for the Millennium Dome Show.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
With Devon Watson, leader of Douglas City Council, Joe McGuinness, who is lead on finance and general purposes. Right, got a message in, and this is for Mr. Watson. This is regarding the football changing at Paul Rose United. Due to the condition of the wooden changing room at Paul Rose, they were demolished with the hope of a new facility. The building cost came at $750,000. Football Foundation offered $250,000. I think the corporation offered some money as well. But they're currently using a container and the old police station at Paul Rose's changing rooms, and the police station facility is being taken away. Where does the council stand on this, Devon Watson?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I said earlier on with social infrastructure, I mean, sport is one of those things that is so useful, particularly within... particularly in that specific location, because it can bring people in from sort of a range of different communities to sort of play together, and that might not normally happen. So we're really keen to sort of try and figure out how we can find the best sort of solution. Obviously, there is a lot of funding pressure that we have, so we're quite keen to work with a range of initiatives,
right.
Work with the Football Association, work with Lottery Trust, work with a range of entities to try to get that funding, and we're happy to sort of contribute toward helping out in that case.
Yeah.
But that's something that I think the local constituency councillors know a lot more about than myself. But my personal view is I'm really sort of keen to sort of see decent changing rooms there, particularly in colder months. I mean, yeah. Weather on the Isle of Man is variable.
It's not very civilised changing in the porter cabin, is it?
With you know, those, but maybe it gives you that fighting spirit, you know, when you're at... No, yes. But I mean, but in all seriousness, though, no, I do agree. And I think it's also about making sure that when people play sport, that the facilities that they use are good. And that's something that I'm quite committed in. I'm not a sportsman myself, as you can tell from looking at me, but it's one of those things that I do really, really, really want to support.
Yeah,
within our means.
It's a weird contrast, because those players will be changing in a porter cabin playing for Paul Rose United, and they look at the multi-million-pound National Sports Centre just across the way, and it just seems a bit weird that somebody somewhere didn't that this didn't get sorted out in the meantime. How's Ballaclone Stadium, Juan?
Ballaclone's good, and the Ramsey Rugby Club have done fantastic work out in the Murrick as well. They are back in the UK leagues, partly as a result of the wonderful clubhouse they have. And Ramsey Youth Club and Old Boys, they're working out of the school at out Lazare Road, so you know they're probably in a similar boat to Paul Rose, that they want a more permanent home. And there's a lot of... it's great that Ramsey's got so many different sports teams and different people getting involved, and I agree with Devon that as much community spirit as possible, but having changed in a few porter cabins over the years, the sooner you get some proper changing rooms, the better.
Mm. Who did you play for?
Oh, I played for Ramsey for rugby, and a little brief dalliance with Western Vikings as well.
Okay. Emma's with us now. Hello, Emma. You're live with Juan and Devon.
Oh, good afternoon. I just wanted to add to what Jane was saying about the fireworks event on the 1st of November. So I work with the Northern Chamber of Commerce. We've been working with the traders in the town to offer a late night closing. So just to take advantage of the extra footfall coming through and complement the fireworks event for Ramsey Town Commissioners. So we'd love to see as many people come through and visit our fantastic independent high street before you head over to the Morag. Ongoing from that, we've got a programme of town centre events in the run-up to Christmas, including extended shopping hours and another Santa's crosser at the courthouse.
Okay, all right, Emma, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today. I'm noting from 382, Devon, could you expand on the details you mentioned for Nobles Park?
Yeah, so essentially what we're doing is we're in the process of... so what we are really keen to do is create institutions, and we're really keen to sort of create set firm policies. So we're taking a lot of things that were previously done sort of informally or done on that basis. And what we've done is our housing is now working according to a 10-year plan, so that anyone to come in, new councillors come in, we're working toward that plan. We can amend it if need be. But in the same way that with Nobles Park, we're implementing 10-year plans to sort of figure out what do we want this to look like in 10 years, what do we expect conditions to be like in 10 years, and what sort of place do we want to do? We're sort of formalizing a lot of our litter policies, our enforcement policies. So we're creating these institutional policies, and the only way you have an effective society is with effective institutions. So that is what we want to do there. And I assume that once that park is done and completed, we're going to be really excited about that. We're going to get that out there. One thing I do want to shout out is the new council website is live today. So people should check that out. And what I want to do is I want to take take a lot more policies that we do have and make them live, make this administration a lot more transparent.
Okay, is that douglas.gov.im?
I believe so.
Okay. Also, Andy, the note for Devon Watson, when will the Sunken Gardens renovation start, and when will the Harris Prom toilets and kiosk roofs be repaired?
So, yeah, when it comes down to Harris roofs, proms and toilets, because these are heritage items, planning's quite strict as to what exactly we can do there, but work is ongoing. So I'm not exactly sure when that will be completed. That obviously depends on our relationship with contractors and whatnot, but that is work, and that is a core priority, because the fundamental thing about a toilet is that the people who need toilets most often are people who have parents, often people who need to use the toilet in emergencies, and these are people that sometimes that we really want to sort of make sure are okay and can access the town centre. And the Sunken Gardens projects, I think that we're currently sort of working toward that petitioning process to get that sort of done at the moment, but we're going to try to get that done with as minimal sort of disruption to people as possible. But once it's done, we really hope that this will be sort of a fixture. I wish I had more sort of direct detail on dates, but that's being worked out in the committee stages at the moment, I believe.
Okay. All right. Here's a... I thought we'd get to this eventually for Julian McGuinness. Dogmuck, the policy on prosecuting dog owners who let their dogs foul. Is there a warden in Ramsey?
Not at the moment. We're recruiting one as we speak. We have bylaws that if someone is caught not clearing up after their dog muck, they will be fined, a fixed penalty notice, and if they don't pay that, then they will be taken to court. It is difficult to actually catch people in the act. That's the fundamental issue.
Can you remember the last time anybody was done?
It was definitely in the last 18 months that we've prosecuted someone for that. It does happen, it's just not as often as I would like.
Okay, and I mean, in terms of this antisocial behaviour, whether it's littering or stuff like that, where does the riding bicycles on pavements and things like that, or going the wrong way up Parliament Street?
So that's a bylaw. Fundamentally, as a society, we've got to take a bit of personal responsibility. I don't want anyone to be sort of getting in arguments or being antagonistic, but if you spot someone doing something that's antisocial and is ultimately removing the quality of the amenity of the town, please tell Ramsey Town Commissioners, report it. We've got CCTV, we can probably find out who it is, and we will make investigations and issue fixed penalties if someone comes forward with a witness statement.
Yeah, because that's the disconnect, isn't it? When somebody takes pride in their town and they see somebody else making a mess.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks for being with us today. We're out of time. Devon Watson's been here from Douglas City Council, June McGuinness from Ramsey Commissioner. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Good to see you. Well, we'll try it again in the new year and see how things go. So remember, Ramsey fireworks again, is it November the
1st?
November the 1st, okay. And Christmas lights on in both places as well. Right, that's it. If you want to follow up on anything you heard today, call the answer phone on 682631 or email maninline@manxradio.com. We're back to an open line tomorrow, so the floor will be yours. But again, if you've heard anything you'd like to comment on, do get in touch. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. And enjoy the rest of your Monday. WINT